Vai varaka nākās pārstāvības signāli mums tādēļ. In the spirits of Srimad Bhagavatam, Srila Prabhupada selects the word Krishna Devata as being particularly significant. Krishna Devata means one who is constantly thinking of the Lord. Prabhupada uses the word rapt in attention. It's actually almost like an old English word, rapt. So Krishna Devata means one who is always rapt in attention on Krishna. And Prabhupada points out that both Vidura, who was a sannyasi because he left home, and the Pandavas, who were householders, they're both referred to as Krishna Devata, who are pure devotees wrapped in attention on the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Why? Because they're all fully surrendered to Krishna. Therefore, Nartam Das Nakur, he states, Grihe Tako Mani Tako. Whether one is a Ravani, one is living in the forest, or whether one is a householder, a Grihastha, if that devotee is attached to chanting the names of Gauranga, I want that person's association. There's no distinction. Whether one is a householder or one is a sannyasi, if that one is Krishna Devata, if he's wrapped in attention on the Supreme Lord, then I want that person's association for my advancement in Krishna consciousness. Raja Yudhishthira, he accepted wife, a home, and kingdom as his devotional service to the Lord. And Vidura, he gave up wife, children, and kingdom as his devotional service to the Lord. This is the system of Varnashram Dharma, that Varnashram Dharma allows one to situate oneself wherever it is most favorable for his advancement in Krishna consciousness. For some, it is most advantageous to be Brahmachari. For others, it is more advantageous to serve Krishna in the Grihastha ashram. Later on, it may be more advantageous to become Vanaprastha. And even later on, it may be more advantageous to become sannyas. But as Rupa Goswami states, somehow or other, become attached to Krishna. So Varnashram Dharma is so nice. And according to our guna and our karma, we have different natures. We situate ourselves peacefully when we exercise service to the Lord. We become Krishna Devata, wrapped in attention of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Of course, like Vidura, Maharaj Yudhishthira, he also eventually relinquished his duties as a king and accepted sannyas, or the renounced order of life. Because sannyas is obligatory in the Vedic culture. Total renunciation of the materialistic concept of life. We must be completely free from all bodies or designations. Other than, I am simply the eternal servant of the Lord. As Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, I'm not a Brahmin, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Sudra. I'm not a sannyasi, a grihastha, a vanaprastha, or a brahmachari. What am I? I'm simply the eternal servant of the Lord. So eventually we must renounce all these upadis, all these designations, simply identify ourselves, not as any member of any particular family or country or race or even creed. Sarva dharma parijata. Krishna says, you can give up this conception of religion. And simply surrender unto me, I will protect you from all sinful reaction. Do not fear. So Varnashram Dharma serves to help us become fixed up in Krishna consciousness. But ultimately, we don't identify with any designation in this material world. Our only designation is for eternal service. So at some stage, one must renounce. Although attachment in some regards is favorable for our spiritual advancement, we discussed that in the marriage ceremony the other day. And then, some type of attachment is sometimes necessary. In our hearts, we must realize, men and women, that at some stage, we must renounce all attachments in this world and only become attached to the lotus feet of Guru and Guru. Of course, that includes all the Vaishnavas, all the devotees. So sannyas is obligatory. When the wife and the family members are fixed up in Krishna consciousness, a man must renounce family life for the greater responsibility of preaching to society in general. So sometimes that is considered a narrow vision, that just my family. Actually, the whole world is our family, because Krishna is our father, and every living entity is our brother and sister. So a sannyasi, he renounces a small family for a bigger family. I said, I renounced my wife and children, and Krishna sent me so many wonderful. So this is the vision of one who takes to the renounced order of life. So this renunciation, it is a central theme which is running through Vedic culture. Brahmacharya, vanaprastha, and sannyas, that is the mood renunciation, but it is also there in the Grihastha Ashram. We probably will sometimes refer to the Grihastha Ashram as Brahmacharya Grihastha, because the vow of celibacy is also there. So renunciation is essential for advancing in Krishna consciousness, because if we cannot renounce this material world, how can we actually develop attachment to Krishna? Inasmuch as we can renounce, we can accept attachment to Krishna. Of course, our process of becoming attached to renouncing is to become attached to Krishna, but nonetheless, renunciation is there. And one begins the path of renunciation very, very young, at 5 years of age. Before that, one's kind of like a, excuse my French, like a vegetable or something. God, babies don't do, they don't have much sense. But at 5 years out of age, they begin to develop a personality. One's an entity. One sees himself as an individual. He recognizes others, speeches there, ability to learn, to memorize. Shankaracharya, he took sannyas at 6 years old. So as soon as one becomes aware of his existence, he begins to cultivate transcendental knowledge. So at 5 years age, child is sent to the Gurukul. Brahmachari Gurukule Prashananto Gurarima. A student should practice controlling his senses. He should be submissive. He should have an attitude of firm friendship with the spiritual master. It's a great vow. The Brahmachari should go to the Gurukul and live only for the benefit of the spiritual master. That's the beginning. Next stage, after 25 years, a student may enter into the Grihastha Ashram, accept a wife, to raise a family. We discussed yesterday, the other day, husband and wife live together, in a renounced mood, the purpose of advancing in Krishna consciousness. However, there's always a risk, even in Grihastha life, that one may become attached. Therefore, sannyas is obligatory, mandatory. Once Prabhupada told us in Detroit, he said, every man is too much attached to his wife. He left. Actually, Prabhupada once told us a Birbal story. He said once Birbal was the Hindu minister of Akbar, and there's so many pastimes they have with nice stories. So one time, Birbal said like that. Birbal said to Akbar, you know, my dear king, that every man is too much attached to his wife, too much attached. And Akbar said, not every man. I mean, there's so many, maybe, but not every man is too much attached to his wife. And Birbal said, yes, every man is too much attached. So Akbar challenged him, all right, get all the men and bring them here. So that's the power of the king. Everybody stopped, everybody, the whole kingdom stopped. And all the men came to the palace. It's a huge palace, big courtyard. And so all the men came, and Birbal lined them up on one side. And he said, all right, now all of you who are too much attached to your wives, be honest now, you're in front of the king. All of you who are too much attached to your wives, go to the other side of the courtyard. So all of them went except one person. One man stayed on the other side. So Akbar said, see, not all. Thousands and thousands, you know, went, yeah, it's all right. One man stayed. So, you know, Akbar, the king, said, see, not all. There's one left. Not all. So Birbal said, let us just see. So he went to the man with Akbar. He said, why didn't you go to the other side of the king? When I asked that question. And the man said, because my wife told me not to go. Anyway, I'm not saying the problem, I said. So actually it's this relationship. Of course, in married life it is favorable for advancement, but in the Grihamedi conception, that the attraction between male and female is the binding force of this material world. Based on this misconception, which ties together the hearts of the man and the woman, one becomes attached to to his body, to his home, to his family, to his children, to his household paraphernalia. In this way, one thinks in terms of I and mine. So, in Sanskrit, woman is called Shtri. Shtri means one who expands one's possessions. For a man and a woman to enjoy this material world, so many possessions are needed. You need house, you need car, you need children, pets, and animals. And Shastra informs us that this is like a great banyan tree, which extends for many miles. Just like Prabhupada said in Calcutta, near Calcutta there's a banyan tree that extends for 50 miles. Scientists have determined it's the same tree. You know a banyan tree grows, then the roots come in, go down, and they grow up again. So this one singular tree extends for 50 miles. So that is like our attachments to this in this material world. They extend very far. Our attachment is not only from the tip of our, from top of our head to the tip of our toe. Our attachments, sometimes one's attachments are more dear than one's life itself. Many times we see, for instance, people are attached to their country. They give their life for their country. Their country is more important than their own life. They're thinking like that. So how deep are our attachments in this material? So the moment of death means what? That you're torn from your attachments. The pain of death is that point that the soul is taken from the body. But no soul wants to leave. No matter how miserable the condition is, the soul is still thinking, let me stay, let me remain. No matter how miserable it is, we're in so much ignorance that we're being taken from this, we think, ah, let me stay in this body. But what does it mean to be taken from this body? It means to be ripped from the banyan tree of material existence, to be torn from one's loved ones and one's household paraphernalia, so many things. And that is painful. We've seen, you just lose your wallet. Oh, what's my wallet, my credit cards, my money, my receipts, my keys. Lose anything, and it's a source of distress for us. Imagine if in one moment you had to lose everything and you were conscious of it. You're conscious of death, but you're losing everything. It's a painful condition. Sometimes the subtle pain is more painful than the gross pain. For example, if someone punches you in the nose, that hurts. But if someone insults you, you rascal, you bum, you've got a funny ear. Oh, you know, the nose pain goes away after 2 days, but those sharp words pierce the heart. They can stay for years. But when I went home, last home, Hare Krishna, I went to visit him there, underneath my glasses. I went to my... This shows where I'm at. I went home to see Mama. I went to see my parents on the way to New Zealand to preach. And I met one of my old friends. And, you know, we had a fight one time when I was kind of punched him. And, you know, I just met after 20 years, I met my friend. And the first thing he said, you remember how you punched me in the nose? Why'd you do that? And I, you know, all the emotions came. Why did I do it? Because you slammed my car door so hard you broke the window. The whole thing came back. The subtle pain is sometimes more excruciating than the physical pain. And most of our attachments, we have to understand, on that subtle level. We're attached like that in so many ways. All that has to be uprooted at the moment of death. So the moment of death is such a painful experience. So therefore, we have to be renounced at that moment. We have to... Actually, that is the success of Grihastha life, that one trains the wife and the children to become attached to Krishna, and then separation is something very natural. The cutting is there. It's like you cut your fingernails. It's part of your body, but it's not painful. So in Vedic conception, sannyasa is not a horrible thing, a pain. No. It was natural. Everyone felt good about it because it was a step forward in devotional service to the Lord. So, by old age, we must have developed a spirit of renunciation. Brahmachari life is meant for that. Grihastha life serves the same purpose, vanaprastha and then sannyas, so that we can become fully attached to Krishna. To remain attached in old age is very unbecoming. One should not lament that he's lost or she has lost, you know, our bodily beauty and our jigar and our brown hair or black hair, long old age also. What is the beauty of old age? The beauty of old age is the spirit of renunciation and knowledge. Just like Lokanath Maharaj a few years ago in his Vyasa Puja offering, he wrote to Prabhupada, "I'm glad I'm not young anymore, because I'm not struggling with my senses and mind like I used to. Now I can think of Krishna peacefully." Today I met one young Gurukul student, you know, and I made some remark about teenage life. "What do you mean teenage life? What do you mean by being, what's wrong with being a teenager anyway?" I said, "It's hard to control the senses." "Well, so what? You know, we should, the senses are here to enjoy." "Okay." So, she's a good devotee, but, you know. So, that, in youth, yes, there's beauty. Because we're conditioned souls and we attach to that beauty. But even more beautiful is knowledge. And renunciation. That's much more an admirable thing. Because the beauty of this body, it will gradually fade. But knowledge and renunciation can increase on them. So renunciation, that's the beauty of Krishna. Bhagavan, an opulence. Bhagavan. Bhagavan, one who possesses opulence. What is one of Krishna's opulences? Knowledge and renunciation. Krishna's beautiful because he has knowledge. Krishna's beautiful because he's detached. So this, let us, as we grow older, not lament, "Oh, that brown hair, so nice. And what are those wrinkles doing on the corner there? And, you know, can't digest like..." No. That beauty's here today, gone tomorrow. What is real beauty? Knowledge. To understand things as they are. Not to be an illusion, to fall prey to Maya's traps. That's a strength. And renunciation, to be able to say no. It's like in America, they have a campaign against drugs. So they tell them, there's everywhere you see on the billboards, just say no. You know, and someone who can say no to that offer of drugs, considered, you know, a good person. So one can actually come to the point of saying no to his temptations. That means one has gotten spiritual strength. That's real strength. Real strength is not muscle power, lifting weights. 1, 2, 3, 4. That's not real strength. Real strength is to be able to control the senses, not be a servant to the senses. If you can control your mind, you can control your senses. If you can control your mind, Bhagavad Gita says the super soul is already reached. You're able to become Krishna conscious. There's no question of being a yogi. If you cannot control your mind, you can control your senses. You have to control your mind and your senses. You cannot be the servant Godasa. You have to become Goswami. To control the mind, because to control the mind controls that we can fix our attention, Krishna Devataha. We can remain wrapped in attention on Krishna. Otherwise, it's like this. You know, we're looking at the material world, looking at Krishna, the material world, back and forth, you know, and you get dizzy. So we have to become Krishna Devataha. To become Krishna Devataha, we have to be able to control our mind and to control our senses. So knowledge and renunciation, that's something wonderful. That one gets after some time. So to remain attached in old age is quite unbecoming. In old age is actually a warning to an intelligent man to prepare himself for the inevitable. Many warnings, actually, Krishna gave. We're intelligent. Krishna's giving us many warnings about what is this material world. Sometimes, because we're so intoxicated, intoxication begins with the bodily concept of life. That's the first intoxication. Just like a deer is drinking some water in the lake and she becomes enchanted by her reflection. Oh, beautiful doe-like eyes. And she becomes the tiger of death is creeping up on her and she changes. You see. So we become enchanted with the false beauty of this material world, and we can't see the warnings that Krishna is giving us. We try to avoid the warnings. We neglect them, like the ostrich puts our head in the ground. But there's so many warnings Krishna is giving us. This life is temporary, full of misery. Wake up. Jeev jago, become Krishna conscious before it's too late. We don't see the first warning's birth. You take birth. Your first moment in the material world. Welcome to the material world. That is our first experience of material life. There's a saying, first impressions are the most important. What is our first impression of the material world? We get a big slap on the backside. Birth. And then very quickly disease comes, because there's diseases which are, they're only in childhood. measles, mumps, and chicken pox. We don't know. You don't generally get this when you're older. So disease is coming. Old age is coming very quick, too. What do you mean, old age? You've got to wait till you're 70, 75 to get old. No. Doctors say that the body begins deteriorating at 24 years of age. It's not very long. It's only the first quarter of your life you start growing old. The body actually starts deteriorating around 23, 24. The cells start, everything's growing up, and that point is going down. One plot position. He not busy being born is busy dying. Old age comes quite soon, and death can come at any moment. The most amazing thing is that everyone around me is dying, and I'm not thinking I'm going to die. We think we can become serious, people can become serious about spiritual life in their old age. But Prahlad Maharaj said old age means just before you die. So you may die today, so you may be an old man right now. So you have to become serious about Krishna consciousness. Warnings are there. We have to take heed of the warning. Just like in India, in the Bengal tiger, when the Bengal tiger is prowling in the forest, by nature's arrangement, there's a little rodent that follows behind that Bengal tiger. It's a tiny little, it's like a little mongoose. Not a mongoose, but it's about that big. And wherever the tiger goes, the mongoose goes squeak, 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 which means there's a tiger coming. Just by nature's arrangement, it's always following around. Like you see sometimes, in India, you see like the cows. There's always those big white birds, like cranes. Wherever the cow is, you see those white cranes. And if the cow eats the grass and pulls up the grass, then little worms come out, little bugs come out of the ground. And the crane just eats those little... So that's just nature. So I always thought it was strange. Why these white birds always with the cows? You know, everywhere you go, you see a cow, you see a white bird. Which is nature's arrangement, that the bird can get its sustenance by the mercy of the cow, pulls out the grass, the roots of the grass, and gets the worms on it. So another one of nature's arrangements is that in the jungle, this little rodent follows the tiger, and it's always going cheep, 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 cheep. And that's a warning to all the animals, and for here comes the tiger, here comes the tiger. So many animals take heed, cheep, cheep, tiger. But some animals, you know, are too much engrossed in bodily maintenance. They don't hear, and then rah! Old age means little time is left. We have to spend it in Krishna consciousness. Vedic age, before death comes, then the man would renounce, he would go to the Vani. He would go to the Vani, to the forest, because in the forest, it's very dangerous. And by being voluntarily putting oneself in a dangerous situation, one has to call out, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Mind you, Lord, you are the property of the materially impoverished. Those who are in the path of material progress, trying to improve themselves by bodily beauty, by good education, by birth of a good family, etc., they cannot call upon you sincerely. So therefore, in order to actually become fully dependent upon the Lord, one to renounce all the comforts and the securities and go to the forest. Real forest with real tigers and real bears, lions, tigers, and bears. It was, you know, sometimes the yogis were eaten, but sannyasi would go completely dependent upon the Lord and develop his attachment to Krishna. Of course, that's not recommended. We can't do that. But all of us have the same opportunity to take sannyasi. And as much as we can develop full dependence on the Lord by going into the asphalt jungles. There was once a movie. The Asphalt Jungle, it was about gangs fighting in New York City. Really popular movie. It just showed the streets just to be like, you know, a war actually. Different, you know, sharks and jets and everybody fight. So we can also learn to become fully dependent on Krishna. Whether we're Grihastha, whether we're Brahmacharya, Vanaprastha, and that is not so important. What is important is to develop our dependence upon Krishna. To feel fully dependent upon the mercy of the Lord. So if you go out and you preach, the cities of Kali with all the wild animals. You walk down Oxford Street, you see you see lions, you see tigresses, you see bears, and snakes. You see actually two-legged animals. People have the same, unfortunately, the same qualities. It's more dangerous actually to be in the asphalt jungle than it is in the real jungle. At least in the real jungle you can maintain your life by getting fruits and the berries. But here you have to have money to survive. You can't walk in a shop and eat an apple. At any moment, you can be attacked, you can be insulted, you can be confused, you can become bewildered. So when we go on Sangatam, we have to go out of that mood of dependency. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Krishna Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So, all of us can reach that stage of total dependence upon the Lord, whatever ashram we are, by taking up the Yuga Dharma. Mood, sannyas mood, is a great opportunity to become disgrace, trinamstora. We must invite the mood of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He was a very strict sannyasi. Although he was very affectionate to his householder devotees, he would even name their babies. Sannyasis acted out of order, then he criticized, or rather he chastised them very severely. So, that is the highest standard, to act properly and to preach. And actually that formula, which Chaitanya Mahaprabhu stated in reference to Haridas Thakur, that some people preach but they don't act right, and some act right but they don't preach, but you are a first class devotee because you do both. That is actually the mood for all of our ashrams. Every devotee is meant to imbibe that spirit of renunciation and in preaching the mood of sannyas in all ashrams. And then we can become successfully detached from this material world and attached to the lotus feet. Gatara Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Shri Prabhupada ki, Gaur Premanandi. Any questions?
We're talking about Krishna Devadaha, always being wrapped in attention to Krishna. And I noticed during the Bhajan, at the beginning of class, I became aware of the deities behind me while I was playing. I was trying to play for them in the right direction. Then I was wondering, when I'm doing all my activities, if I could have the same mood, be very positive. So when I'm doing these other activities, I say, I don't have the deities with me all the time, but they're super slow. But then also, there's my spiritual master. So I'm wondering which is the opposite to always be trying to keep in mind deities or the super soul or the spiritual master or the completely master.
The nature of the mind is it's very difficult to think of two things at the same time. So we have a practical service. And because that practical service has been given to us by our spiritual master, if we simply meditate upon doing that service nicely for his pleasure, then that is Krishna consciousness. This pastime, Tamal Krishna Maharaj complaining to Srila Prabhupada that he didn't have time for enough time for chanting, reading, serving the deity, because all day long he was banking the money and balancing the books. And he told Prabhupada, I'm afraid that at the moment of death I'm going to think of the bank balance instead of Krishna. So Prabhupada said, that's all right, you continue serving Lord Chaitanya in this way. At the moment of death, the Lord will incarnate your mind, take you back. That service is actually divine. The Majin Tamani Krishna Chaitanya Rasa Vigraha, the name, fame, form, paraphernalia, instructions of the Lord, they're all not different than the Lord. So if we receive that instruction from higher authority, we can feel confident that it's completely spiritual. And we simply try to execute it to the best of our ability for the pleasure of Guru and Krishna, then we'll become completely Krishna conscious. Anything else? We have to go to Birmingham. I actually have to go take lunch. It's a Krishna dinner. Okay, so who's going to come on the Harinam on Wednesday? Let's see, begin the show on Wednesday. How many of you like to participate in the street theater? One, two. Okay, we'll get you in there. It'll be spontaneous. You know, somebody can jump in as Mother Sachi or Gautama. Okay. Bhagavatam ki, Bhagavatam ki,